Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. This is an awesome night. Let's start tonight with that very famous passage in Luke chapter 2 as we begin here. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Do you guys have a great joy in that? The angel says, this is good news of great joy. Do you have great joy in your heart?
Yes.
At this phrase, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Think about that. We have a Savior. And tonight, what I'd like to look with you at is getting a fresh taste of that joy of Jesus being your Savior tonight. And I'd like to do that by looking at this question in particular, is what did Jesus save us from? What did he come to do? Why was Jesus actually born here on earth, born as a man, as taking on flesh? Why did he come down here to earth? Well, the answer, of course, is to save us, right? This day in the city of David is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And when God comes to save us, what part did we have in that, other than getting ourselves into trouble with sin? But it's altogether God's work to come and save us. I love this line in Job, where God speaks to Job to put him into his place. And he says, "Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth the lightnings that they may go and say to you, 'Here we are'? Can you look on everyone that is proud and abase him? Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low? Then will I also declare to you that your own right hand can give you the victory." So which among you tonight can lift up your voice to the clouds and call down the rains, or send forth the lightnings, or look on the proud and abase them? This is God's work. It's God's victory. And I'll tell you, Jesus Christ coming to save us, it's his work alone. Amen? He is the great victor who gives us the victory. So let's take a fresh taste of that joy tonight by seeing what Jesus actually saved us from. What did Jesus come to do to rescue us? Well, let's take a look first at this Matthew passage. And you can tell me, because this is a little quiz, all right? Let's start out here with another famous passage of Christmas. The birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for see, he will save his people from their sins." So, this is an easy one. What did Jesus come to save us from? From our sins. From our wrongdoings, our iniquities, our evil thoughts, our evil actions. And we've all got a part in that, don't we? Where we've all sinned. Now, I meet people all the time in the world that say, "Savior, why would I need to come to Jesus to be as my Savior? Because after all, I'm a pretty good guy. God certainly would accept me. I'm pretty nice. And I have an occasional failing here or there, but on the whole, I'm a pretty good person. What do I need Jesus for to save me? I'm going to heaven." You meet people like this? Maybe that might describe someone here. I hope not, but maybe that's your view. But against that, let's listen to the scripture. If you open up in Romans 3, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Isaiah 53, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way." Solomon says, "Surely there's not a righteous man on earth who always does right and never sins." Amen? You know, John says in his letter, if we say we haven't sinned, we're deceiving ourselves. The truth's not in us, and we make God a liar, and his word is not in us, because God has declared of us that we're every one of us here, each of us is a sinner. Have you sinned and fallen short of God's glory? Have you done wrong? Well, God declares that you have, and that puts us into a very desperate, dire situation, doesn't it? Reminds me of a story I looked up this week and remembered of those whales back in 1988 in the Arctic. You recall this story? It was on all the news internationally even, where these three whales were trapped in the ice pack. See, they were feeding and the ice pack flowed in and they got trapped from the freedom of the open seas. And a hunter came across them, an Alaskan Eskimo, and he saw these three whales. And there's just a little tiny area, gray whales, big whales, but a little area, 40 feet, and it's kept coming up to breathe in that little tiny patch of air that there was left, and they couldn't escape out to the sea. Well, he tried to get them out of there with a chainsaw, but that wouldn't work. It was some distance still to the sea. And then they called, and actually nations came in. Finally, Russia came in with this huge icebreaker and broke through the ice. You remember the story, for those who are old enough? And broke it open, and the whales were able to swim out through the cut and the opening and come out into freedom in the opening seas. Well, the Bible declares to each and every one of us that we were all like these whales, trapped in sin, imprisoned, with only a little bit of air to breathe, and quickly having our strength be spent and soon to die and soon to perish if we didn't have a Savior. But what we're celebrating tonight as God's people is that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And what did he do for us? He bore our sins in his body on the cross, on the tree, says Peter, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, to be dead to sin, to be set free from our sins. He taking our sins on the cross, dying for them there, to set us free from our sins. Are you free from your sins tonight? Have you believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? This is what Christmas is about. That we have joy that a Savior has come to set us free from our sins, that we might not die in them. For without the shedding of blood, says Scripture, there's no forgiveness of sins. But Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, that's what he did the first time, he's coming again a second time, not that time to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So that's number one. Do you have a fresh joy tonight about that? Do you feel your sins heavy on you? Are they haunting you? Do you remember, oh my goodness, I think about what I did. And it haunts you? Jesus says, come to me. I won't cast you out. I'll take them away and they won't haunt you anymore. Don't let them haunt you if you're in Jesus Christ. If you're not in Jesus, come to him and let him remove them from you, that you might be saved and free. Go like this. Freedom. That's what he came to give you. And joy in the forgiveness of your sins. Secondly, what's another thing Jesus came to save us from? Let's look over here in Luke chapter 1, another famous passage. This is speaking of John the Baptist, that verse 76, that he was to go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the shadow of what? Death. What else did Jesus come to save us from? Death. Death. Think about that. Do you need to be saved from death? Even if you meet some unbeliever in the world who says, I don't have any sins, he's still going to admit he's got to be saved from death. Because we're all going to die one day. We sit in the shadow of death. Now here, I'd like to bring up another little story I found, which was about the Chilean miners. You remember that in 2010, that story? This was, again, international news. These guys were down like 2,500 feet under extremely heavy rock, down in the heart of the earth. And they're miners. They're working down there to get whatever minerals there are. When suddenly there was a great cracking, a rumbling, a sharp blast, and down came the rocks all about them into a great rubble, trapping off every exit and rescue route, or an escape route, out. They were 3 miles from the caves, from the mine's entrance. Imagine that. Can you picture yourself there right now? What would you be like? I'm kind of claustrophobic. I like heights. I don't like, you know, down closed areas. Imagine being in the heart of the earth, half a mile under heavy rock, and everything just collapsed around you. There's nothing but darkness. And you have very little food or water. And 33 men were down there in this dire situation, waiting for death to come, doomed. And that is what the Bible says. You sat, I sat, we sat in the shadow of death. Only a matter of time before we were to die and face even eternal death and forever to come after. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sins shall die. And each of us, when we're tempted, has a desire. When the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, says James. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. You answer to me right now. Do you and did you need to be saved from death? Even eternal death? Eternal separation from God? Jesus said of the wicked that those who reject him, they will be cast into the outer darkness, where men will weep and gnash their teeth. Think about that. This is like the miners down in the deep places of the earth. And they were hot. You'd think in the depths of the earth would be cool, right? A cool, refreshing thing down there. It's hot down there, the earth is. And hell is hotter, I tell you. Did we need a Savior? Oh, we did. Well, guess what these men happened to them? They're down there and wondered if there was even a rescue team looking for them. Who can ever find them a half a mile under all this earth and rock? Well, one day they heard this drilling sound of this bit boring down towards them, and it got closer until it broke through the ceiling of their cave. And they attached the note to it, and they sent it up on the drill bit, and up it goes, 33 men needing rescue. And then they bored a bigger hole to give them some nourishment, some food and water. And they were in there 69 days in the heart of the earth in total darkness, waiting, doomed to death. But it came time one day that they opened up the shaft big enough by a drill and were able to bring the men up one at a time to safety, to freedom, to blue skies and open air, and to restoration with their families. What did Jesus do for you and me? What are we celebrating tonight? That we're all down here on this earth. We are under the heavens and we're doomed to die. Unless we have a rescue from above. Like the Bible says that God had his time for nourishing us, his time for keeping us going until his day should dawn from on high. He bores down His love comes down and breaks through into the earth. And that is the birth of Jesus Christ. The Savior came all the way down on a rescue mission to set you and me free. That we don't have to fear death anymore. Because what happened to Jesus? He died for our sins on the cross, and then he died. He went into the grave. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead to live forever. And he says, because I live, you shall live also. Everybody who comes to me, I will raise you up at the last day. Isn't that amazing? Think about this tonight. This is what Christmas is about. It's not just a peaceful evening, even though that's wonderful too. This is about you not dying. You having eternal life in Jesus' name. Your soul, when you die, goes to heaven if you're in Christ. And your body will be raised on the last day, glorified. This is glorious, joyful news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So he saves you from your sins. He saves you from death. Thirdly, he saves you from judgment to come. Do you need to be saved from judgment to come? Well, what's the Bible say about this? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says, let's take a look here. Verse 10, over here. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive good or evil according to what he's done in the body. And Romans 14, we must all appear before the judgment seat of God. And to God shall come all people on account of their sins. Are you ready for that day? To go to God, who is a judge standing over before you and all the earth standing before him, to be judged for your life? Well, we need to be saved from that judgment. As we said, saved from your sins, saved from death, saved from the wrath to come. What do we read about the law of God, you good Christians out there? The Ten Commandments, have you kept them? Are you going to pass well at this test? Have you ever said fool to somebody? Uh-oh, you're liable to the hell of fire. Have you ever been angry at your brother? Uh-oh, you're liable to the council. Have you ever looked lustfully at a woman? Don't answer that, but yes, you have. If you're a man, and if you're a woman, you probably look lustfully at a man. Well, you're an adulterer. You've broken the law. How are you going to stand before the Lord on that day? Thanks be to God, unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. For the Bible says, listen carefully, Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed be everyone who hangs on a tree, that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Jesus fulfilled the law for you, did it perfectly. He died for your sins, your sins all taken off, placed upon him, his righteousness taken off and placed upon you when you come to him and believe on him. So have you come to him? Is there anybody out there tonight? Don't answer out loud, but have you come, not come to him? Well, come to him right now. Jesus says, he who comes to me, I will never cast out. Come, the door is open, it's free. So come on and receive the forgiveness of your sins and escape from the wrath to come, because that day is coming. But unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. And he saves you also out of the world. We know that, because the world is evil. And if you were of the world, Jesus says, the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So what does God do when God sent Jesus down here? The whole world is evil, and God says, I'm going to lift you up out of that and save you and rescue you that you can be mine. You ever see those shirts like, my sister went to Duke, you know, property of Duke basketball team, right? Well, when you come into Jesus Christ, God puts a shirt on you saying, belongs to God of heaven and earth. You are his people, and Jesus is your Savior. That's beautiful. One more here is, he rescues you from the evil one. Now, a lot of places don't even believe in the evil one anymore. Satan, a villain, a spiritual enemy, the murderer of souls. But guess what? Just turn on the news one day and you're going to see his work all over the place. You got clues of broken lives, broken hearts, destruction, murder, theft, adultery. These are all his work, inspiring them in the hearts of people. Do we need to be saved from him? He is a dragon, says Scripture. And we need a dragon slayer, a prince, to do it. And I love this line. This is actually of Leviathan in Job. But Leviathan is the great dragon, which I take this to be really about the devil. Think about these words. His heart is hard as a stone, hard as the nether millstone. When he raises himself, the mighty are afraid. At the crashing, they're beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it doesn't avail, nor the spear, the dart, or the javelin. Upon earth, there's not as like a creature without fear. He beholds everything that is high. He is king over all the sons of pride. Do you think you and your own strength are going to be able to stand up against an angel like this? An angelic cherubim being of such glory and strength, this prince of darkness? Do you think you can outstand one chance against him? Well, let me tell you something. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. Man cannot prevail against the devil, but the prince of peace from above, coming down and becoming man, he'll prevail for you. What did Jesus come to do? The devil's work is in lies. What did Jesus say? For this I was born, that's what we're celebrating, and for this I've come to bear witness to the truth. And Jesus came and he spoke truth. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. He spoke truth and he plunged it right into the heart of the dragon. And when Jesus died on the cross for us, this little baby came and died for us, he broke the devil's holds like his talons upon us. They were smashed, and his grip was slacked, and he had to let us go because Jesus died for your sins and broke you free. And Revelation says the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the glory and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuseth them day and night before God. Do you get accused in your thoughts? Do you hear these haunting things keep accusing you, saying, bad, bad, you failed, God doesn't love you, all this kinds of stuff? He's coming against you, but you, in Christ, you're free. You can say, I am God, I am forgiven, I am redeemed, I'm an heir of heaven. The Prince of Peace is my hero, and he's already beaten you, Satan. For Jesus disarmed the principalities and powers, said Paul in Colossians, and he's made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by his cross. Someone asks you, are you free tonight from the evil one's talents? Are you set free to be under a new kingdom? For God, it says in Colossians, has delivered you from the dominion of darkness and transferred you to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom you have redemption, the forgiveness of your sins. What do we need more than that, friends? Grace and forgiveness. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so instead of sin, Jesus gives you forgiveness. He takes you away from death and gives you eternal life. He takes you away from the wrath of God and gives you friendship with God. He takes you away from hell and gives you heaven. He takes you away from the devil and gives you freedom in his own kingdom. You have joy in these things tonight. Amen?
Amen.
So I have one last thing to share with you and one last story. Why? Unto you is born this day in the city of David is a Savior, Christ the Lord. Why did he come? Of course, to save us, but why did he save you? The answer is, listen carefully, he loves you. He cares out of the depths of his heart for each and every one of you. Each and every one of you. He cares. That's why he came, because he loves you. And what kind of a love is it like? One more story about a father and a son. This was in Armenia in 1988. There was an earthquake that killed many, many people. And in the chaos, a father ran to his son's preschool, whereas the son was and when he got there, the thing was just rubble. And all the parents are around weeping and bawling and just in hysterics. But he runs back to the back side of the building where he knew his son's classroom was, and he began to dig. Well, all the parents said, it's useless, our children are dead, give it up. But he kept digging. And then the bystander said, you're crazy, man, get out of here. It's useless, it's hopeless. But he kept digging. The fire chief and the police came by and said, there are explosions happening, sir. You're endangering yourself and others. You must give it up. And they tried to force him to leave, but he kept digging. 4 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours non-stop. 36 hours non-stop. Non-stop, imagine that. On the 38th hour, he broke through a little bit. He says, Armand, which was his son's name. And he hears, Dad, is that you? Yes, it is. He says, Dad. And all the class was under there in a little pocket, a cave that was kept under the rubble. He says, Dad, I knew it was you, and I knew you'd come. I told him you would come. I told him and I knew that you'd come because you said, you will always be there for me. Do you know that God is always there for you? He loves you and sent Jesus to be your Savior. That, where shall you go from my presence, God said. Where shall you flee from it? If you ascend to heaven, I'm there. If you make your bed in Sheol, I'm there. If you take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there my hand shall lead you and my right hand shall hold you. Do you believe this? Return to the joy tonight that you have a Savior who not only rescues and saves you from all things evil and gives you life in his kingdom, but who also loves you with all of his heart, both now and in the day of eternity. So rejoice, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. who is Christ the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.